It doesn't take an extraordinary experience to make health feel like an extraordinary blessing. Even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Have you ever wondered how diabetes affects the brain? And really, even more to that, the rest of the body and the rest of the systems of the body. My guest is Dr. Michael Cummings. He's board-certified neurologist at Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cummings. Diabetes, we're talking about type 1 and type 2, if left untreated, can really cause some serious complications. So speak about what you see first as someone has unmanaged diabetes and things that start to kind of head south.
Yes, thank you, Melanie. There are a variety of neurological complications of diabetes mellitus. One of the most prominent are circulatory or vascular problems. There's also problems with the eye, with the retina. There's also a variety of metabolic problems, such as low and high blood sugar, kidney disease, which can cause seizures, and neuropathy. So diabetes can really affect a large number of areas of the nervous system. And we can talk first about the circulatory vascular problems, if you'd like.
I would, because, you know, people don't often think of that, but insulin runs, it keeps that blood sugar under control, and blood sugar is what gets to the cells and to the muscles and especially to the brain and spinal cord, where we need that so desperately. So what's going on in the circulatory system?
Yeah, that's one of the ironies, is that the blood under normal circumstances only eats or consumes pure glucose, yet excessive glucose causes damage. The pathophysiology of that is not well understood. It probably relates predominantly, however, to blood vessel damage. And if you have circulatory vascular problems with diabetes, they can manifest themselves in many ways. For example, the number one killer of humans is heart disease. The number three killer is stroke. And they both are increased in diabetics. In diabetics, we have increased the hardening of the arteries, or so-called atherosclerosis, and that leads to strokes and heart attacks. We know that if you are diabetic, you have a much increased risk of those complications, particularly involving the small vessels of the brain. In addition to that, if you have more strokes, or if you have more small vessels that are clogged up, causing many strokes, that can lead to dementia as well. So not only do you have an increased risk of stroke, we have increased risk of dementia and possibly even Alzheimer's disease.
And that's interesting, too, because it is that circle. As you get that atherosclerosis building up, and then the blood pressure is going to rise, and if your arteries are a little bit, not as movable, your blood pressure certainly goes up, and that increases your risk for stroke right there. It all kind of ties in together.
Yes, it does. And when other parts of the body are affected, you get symptoms there as well. For example, if the vessels and throughout the rest of the body, so-called peripheral vascular disease, is affected, then you can get symptoms from that as well. One common condition is called claudication. Claudication means that if you start walking a certain distance, after a certain distance, you suddenly get pain in your legs and you can walk no further. When it involves the eye, it's called diabetic retinopathy, where the retina of the eye has abnormal blood vessels. These blood vessels often cause bleeding because they're weak and have little aneurysms formation on these blood vessels. And ultimately, the blood vessels then attempt to compensate for that by hypertrophying or proliferating. In other words, a large number of small vessels grow on the retina of the eye, and when they grow excessively, they can block your vision. In fact, diabetic retinopathy is the single leading cause of blindness in adults. Most diabetics have some degree of retinopathy, but fortunately, most people do not get blind from it, but it can affect their vision.
Well, and we've heard that a lot before, Dr. Cummings. So what can people do if they, if they're starting to have blurred vision or problems with their eyes and they are a diabetic?
Yeah, they really need to be followed closely by a retinal specialist. Start with your regular eye doctor, but if you get diabetic retinopathy, probably be a good idea to see a specialist because they need to follow this closely. And at some point, some of these people will require treatment such as photocoagulation or other surgical treatments that will, in particular, treat these new blood vessels, so-called proliferated blood vessels, that can lead to blindness. So there is a treatment for this condition, so it needs to be followed closely, and the risk versus benefit of taking that treatment should be, you know, considered on an ongoing basis. They also need, of course, to control their blood sugar.
Well, sure, and that's one of the most important things, is you have to be able to keep control, and as we said in a previous segment, you know, you have to be a type A personality to keep control of everything if you're a type 1 diabetic. Exercise has such an insulin-like effect. So when you're working with people, Dr. Cummings, how do you kind of put that all together? And you mentioned Alzheimer's, and it's also interesting. How do you put it all together for managing all of these complications?
Well, with diabetes, it always starts with good diabetic control, making sure that blood sugar is in the normal range. And that creates another series of issues related to diabetes and the neurological function is metabolic problems. If the blood sugar is too high, you get these long-term complications we've been discussing, the circulatory vascular, the retinopathy, and so on. And we'll talk later about neuropathy. And these occur typically 10 to 20 years after you get the diabetes, although some people do have them at onset of the diabetes. So you need to control the blood sugar. We know that that will, in the long run, benefit the patient. It's often not a cure, but it certainly is a place that you start. And you have to be careful, too, because if you try to control the blood pressure or blood glucose or blood sugar too tightly, then you can lead to hypoglycemia or low blood sugar. That's another neurological complication where, due to low blood sugar, someone can present with dizziness or confusion or tremors, anxiety, and so on, and hypoglycemia itself can cause damage as well. So you want to make sure it's not too high or too low in terms of the blood sugar, and particularly too high over a long period of time causes damage.
Now, too low can be a common condition without even being someone who suffers from diabetes. You can be a hypoglycemic or subject to hypoglycemia. What happens to the brain? You mentioned dizziness. You know, you mentioned these feelings, and I've been with people when they've suffered those kind of attacks, a hypoglycemic attack. What happens in the brain during that?
Well, the brain under normal circumstances only consumes pure sugar or pure glucose. So if you have inadequate concentrations of glucose, the metabolism or function of the brain slows down, and you get those kinds of symptoms.
And what do you do about them? You know, people have, grab some orange juice or get one of those sugar tabs, you know, something like that. What do you advise doing?
I think that's the best advice, is to get some sugar into your body as soon as possible. And that will often control the symptoms. Now, if it keeps occurring in a diabetic, it's often an indication that the medication to treat the diabetes, either the insulin or the oral blood glucose medications, are at too high of a level, and that needs to be adjusted.
Osteoporosis is a risk from diabetes as well.
Yes.
So, yes. Because people don't, you know, really think about bone problems, but as you're not getting good, adequate blood flow, I mean, all of these things do tie together, don't they? In the last minute, please, Dr. Cummings, wrap it up for us, the neurological complications and the importance of managing your diabetes so that you do not come up with some of these long-term complications that can really affect your quality of life.
I think the key point is try to have diabetes diagnosed early on, so you should be following with your doctor, even if you don't have diabetes, to see if you have a pre-diabetic condition, your blood sugars are running a little bit high and so on, and treat that with diet and exercise and follow it closely. If you do slip into full diabetes, as Tom Hanks has recently announced on TV, you want to treat it even more aggressively with insulin or medications, because we know in the long run, if the blood sugar is allowed to run high, you will develop these late complications with diabetes, some of which can be very severe, such as stroke, heart attack, blindness, and so on.
And you definitely want to keep control of your diabetes, manage it, know your numbers. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number 4, health.com. This is Melanie Cole. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.